Welcome to Mad Season Above. I'm Matt Pinfield.
The combination of the four of us was an interesting, I don't know if you could have thought that out. It just happened. We called each other up. We got together and jammed. It was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then it always seemed kind of cool. And then now it's turned into something a lot more special than I realized.
In the mid-1990s, the Seattle music scene was booming. Four friends from different established bands decided to get together for a side project called Mad Season. Lane Staley sang in Alice in Chains. Mike McCready played guitar for Pearl Jam. Bassist John Baker Saunders toured with the Walkabouts. And Baron Martin was the drummer for Screaming Trees. As the supergroup Mad Season, they created one critically acclaimed record called Above. Then tragedy struck with the death of two band members.
I'm above. Over you, I'm standing above. Claiming unconditional love. Above. I'm above. Over you, I'm standing above.
Guitarist Mike McCready.
The project came together when I was in Minneapolis with our bass player, Baker. I was in a rehab place called Hazleton right there, after years of drinking and all sorts of different things. And we had talked about doing a project together while we were there, and we kicked around the idea. The name actually came from when we were in Surrey doing our first album, Pearl Jam. I had heard some of the people that worked at the studios say that they're referring to it as the Mad Season, because that's when the mushrooms, hallucinogenic mushrooms, had come up. And that name always kind of stuck with me. And it also kind of has to do with my years of abuse of drugs and alcohol. So subsequently, Baker and I came back to Seattle and just called up Lane. Baker had been a huge fan of Lane's, and I've known Lane for about 10 years. And I wanted to play with Barrett, too. So I called up Lane one day and called up Barrett, and we got together and rehearsed, and things just started happening. So we started playing shows around Seattle.
Daily sang in Alice in Chains.
That kind of experience was the most nerve-wracking, scariest experience of my life. We decided to do a show, Barrett and Mike and Baker and myself. And Mike came over to my house, and I was in bed, and he came in and woke me up and said, "You want to play a show in 3 days with these guys?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. You know, when are we going to practice?" And he said, "Well, we'll practice the night before." So we went down and we came up with two or three songs, which the next day nobody remembered a riff or a lyric or anything. So what we did is we got on stage and they played music. You know, they made up music and threw these riffs together, and they all stared at me and waited for something to come flying out of my mouth. And in front of all those people, it was, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to run as fast as I could off the stage and out the door, or if I was going to stand there and try and do it. And I stayed there and I spit something out that fit with the music. And so we played like four Sundays in a row, and each time we played, we played a couple more songs, you know, and pretty soon we had enough music to do a record. I was more satisfied with the Mad Season record than any other recordings I'd done.
This song was created on stage during Mad Season's first live show in October 1994. Here they are playing it 7 months later at the Moore Theater.
Artificial red.
music and information can be found at legacyrecordings.com. Thanks for listening. Welcome to Mad Season Above. I'm Matt Pinfield. In the mid-1990s, the Seattle music scene was booming. Four friends from different established bands decided to get together for a side project called Mad Season. Lane Staley sang in Alice in Chains. Mike McCready played guitar for Pearl Jam. Bassist John Baker Saunders toured with the Walkabouts. And Baron Martin was the drummer for Screaming Trees.
Blue cloud and gray, you're not a cracker. Dizzy and weakened by the haze. Moving onward. So an infection, not a phase.
Yeah. Mad Season was the second name for the band. The first came from a mix of a serial killer's name and the Brady Bunch.
Well, we were the Gacy Bunch. That was a joke that was funny for about 5 minutes, and then when the sixth minute hit, it wasn't funny anymore. I got into this real fascination with serial killers after I got out of rehab, and I don't know, have any reason for that, but I think that's probably equally as dysfunctional, but you know, I don't end up passing out when I'm reading about Gacy or anything like that. It was just kind of a funny thing that Baker and I had come up with, and let's go for it, you know? And then it wasn't funny anymore, so we started taking it seriously.
In April of 1995, they played their first live show under the name Mad Season. It was a celebration of their new album, Above. Drummer Barrett Martin and guitarist Mike McCready.
I think the Moore Theater, it's one of those classic music venues. It's smaller than the Paramount. I think it holds close to 1,000 people, yeah. You know, like full capacity. So it's bigger than a nightclub, but not a giant place. So it still has a quality, you know, a intimacy, you know, quality to it. And I don't know how the stars aligned on that particular night, but it really was one of the greatest live music performances that I've ever been a part of, and it felt that way amongst everybody in the band. We just really bottled the lightning that night.
Yeah, we'd only played like 6 shows tops. I don't even, you know, yeah. Crocodile a couple times. Where else did we play? The radio show.
Rock Candy,
which is no longer around, which was it was the culmination, the biggest part of the audience of our shows, of all 6 of them, I guess, how to say.
Nobody had really seen the band live because the shows we played at the Crocodile were secret, unannounced shows, so the only people that were there were the people that just kind of found themselves there by accident.
Lifeless dead, that unclean bed, till when her hunger's fed.
Mad Season gave Mike McCready and singer Lane Staley a chance to stretch out with their songwriting. It was easier to do away from the high intensity and pressure of their bands Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains.
I wrote most of the music. Lane had a bunch of lyrics that he had poems and things like that he had brought in, and he came up with some on the spot, and I think he had some prior to the project that just kind of fit the songs, and he wrote some music too that he had ideas about too. So. Lane and I have talked about how this has kind of re-energized our confidence in our subsequent bands. I think it's definitely given me a lot more confidence to write music. I was very intimidated by other guys in my band before because they're very good songwriters, and I think Lane was too. So we were both kind of insecure maybe in our bands, and I think this has given us a lot of confidence to do it, you know. We made the record pretty quickly. I think it was just because there wasn't a lot of baggage from our individual bands. We just went in there to create music, and that had come out live in the shows, and we figured, let's go in, and it was my idea to actually do a demo at first, but Lane had talked about, well, forget doing a demo, let's do an album. So we started, for some reason it clicked. It was one of the quickest projects I've ever done. And I think it was because there wasn't a lot of baggage from our subsequent bands. And we just went in there to create music. So it was a real free environment.
Music and information can be found at legacyrecordings.com. Thanks for listening. Welcome to Mad Season Above. I'm Matt Pinfield. In the mid-1990s, the Seattle music scene was booming. Four friends from different established bands decided to get together for a side project called Mad Season. Lane Staley sang in Alice in Chains. Mike McCready played guitar for Pearl Jam. Bassist John Baker Saunders toured with the Walkabouts. And Baron Martin was a drummer for Screaming Trees.
Every day, each time, the place was saved. The music that we made. The wind has carried all of that away.
Singer Lane Staley wrote the lyrics for the Mad Season tunes. Guitarist Mike McCready.
He was really writing about what was going through his life at that time. And so if you think about it and listen to it, it's really heavy to listen to those lyrics, you know?
Staley was battling with depression and drug addiction at the time as he tried to adjust to the sudden fame of Alice in Chains. Drummer Barrett Martin.
That's kind of how the blues works. You know, the blues is songs that are kind of about dark places and dark experiences, but somehow in the doing of that, you make everybody else feel like, well, you're not alone in having that experience. And so even though the themes on the Mad Season record might be dark, it's a dark beauty is what it is. And people connect with that because everybody has walked through darkness at some point. It's part of being a human being. But you don't understand the quality of light or the preciousness of it unless you've spent time in the darkness. And somehow Lane was able to conjure that in his lyrics and in his voice.
For all the times you let
some of the lyrics were inspired by what singer Lane Staley was interested in during the recording of their album, drummer Barrett Martin.
When we were working on the Above album, Lane was reading Khalil Gibran's The Prophet, classic spiritual book. That was one of the things he was reading at the time. So that's why I was saying that even though the lyrical content on the Above album is kind of dark, it's because light and dark are part of a continuum. And, you know, as far as you go into darkness is your ability to go into light. You know, it's just the expansion of your capacity. And so I know that Lane was, you know, channeling some very spiritual stuff when he was writing the lyrics and singing on that record. He was channeling something.
My pain, you're self-chosen. At least, so the prophet says. I could either burn.
Screaming Trees toured with Alice in Chains in the mid-1990s, so drummer Barrett Martin got to see Lane Staley perform every night. Offstage, Lane impressed Barrett even more.
And what I remember about Lane is that, you know, everybody wanted to get into those shows, you know, for free or on a VIP pass or whatever. And every band was allocated a certain number of guest lists for each show. And Lane would not give his list to VIP people. He would go out in front of the venue and he'd find the kids that couldn't afford a ticket. Or, you know, the shows were all sold out. They couldn't get in. And Lane would put those kids on his guest list. So he always was looking out for people that, you know, wanted to see the show but couldn't afford to, couldn't get in. And that's why, you know, he represents those people. You know, he doesn't represent the elite. He represents, you know, the regular person.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
And he would, you know, hang out and talk and, you know, sign autographs, but he didn't remove himself from people. He was very much in contact with them, and I always thought that was a very admirable quality to have. He's very, very humble and gracious like that. And so was Baker, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, these are like, you know, dudes that grew up, you know, real blue collar and just, you know, connected to people, they didn't consider themselves to be, you know, overly special or anything like that. And you can hear that in the music, you know, that's why it's raw.
Mad Season recorded this tune for the John Lennon tribute album, Working Class Hero.
Well.
Music and information can be found at legacyrecordings.com. Thanks for listening. Welcome to Mad Season Above. I'm Matt Pinfield. In the mid-1990s, the Seattle music scene was booming. Four friends from different established bands decided to get together for a side project called Mad Season. Lane Staley sang in Alice in Chains. Mike McCready played guitar for Pearl Jam. Bassist John Baker Saunders toured with the Walkabouts. And Baron Martin was a drummer for Screaming Trees. Baker Saunders spent most of his early years playing bass for blues greats in the Chicago scene. He and guitarist Mike McCready met at a rehab center in Minneapolis, where the idea of Mad Season was born.
I mean, I think about those guys in terms of how I miss them, you know, and like, I remember Baker being funny and saying, like, being a kind of old jazz guy, blues guy, having kind of crotchety but funny and always making me laugh. And a great bass player, and I just liked him as an individual.
Drummer Barrett Martin.
That is one of the great things about Baker, is that he was totally rooted in the 70s, in the 1990s. Yeah. And of course, that wasn't cool in the 1990s, but now it's totally cool.
Yeah.
So he was 20 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, of actually. Being not PC at all and saying the wrong things at the wrong time to a lot of people. I love him for it. I'm so glad he did that.
Like, you know, Baker and I, you know, we bought houses pretty close to each other. And he went out and bought a 1970s four-door sedan because that's the car that he wanted. That's the car Mike's talking about. Like, that was the kind of car he wanted to drive. And then also when he went over to his house, he didn't have any furniture in his house, but he had a absolutely pristine Hammond B3 organ from the 1960s, I think. that had been owned by an elderly woman and, you know, it probably never left her home.
Yeah.
And he had it set up in his living room, and it was like a religious shrine, you know. There wasn't a couch, but there was a Hammond B3 organ.
The wind has carried all of that away.
Struggling with depression and drug addiction for years, singer Lane Staley left Mad Season in 1997. Mike, Baker, and Barrett continued under the name Disinformation until tragedy struck when Baker overdosed on heroin in 1999. Lane followed a few years later, also from a drug overdose. Barrett Martin of Mad Season.
Both Lane and Baker were really amazing human beings. They were both highly intelligent and really funny. And they always had this sort of sharp-witted insight into the nature of reality and people and music. And although they took music and songwriting seriously, they also, you know, they had a lot of levity and humor about it too. And it's terrible that we lost them when they were young, and sometimes that's the way it happens. You know, the bright stars burn out the fastest. But at the same time, they left behind some amazing music. You know, really, they left behind a legacy. And the Above album is the only album that has Lane's complete lyrics. You know, it's the only album where he wrote all of the lyrics. It's really his statement.
It is.
You know? And I think what Baker provided, because, you know, Mad Season was essentially this very heavy blues band. I mean, it was our interpretation of the blues, but that's you can really hear that musical influence. And a lot of that comes from Baker, mm-hmm. and his, you know, growing up and playing in the Chicago blues scene. So I think the influence that they had on that particular record, as well as the wider influence that they had in music in general, the, you know, other bands that were influenced by them, is much bigger than we actually realize.
Mark Lanegan of Screaming Trees was a guest singer on the original Mad Season album. Before Baker died, the band recorded the music for several songs, and recently, Mark chose a few to complete with lyrics and vocals. Guitarist Mike McCready.
I was resigned to never do anything with it again, and just kind of put it on the back shelf and forgot about it, but then it would come back up occasionally and go, oh yeah, that was cool, we should do something. And it's like, nah. Pearl Jam gets busy, or you're doing stuff, and he's in Amazon, or he's got your label. You know, there's a million different things that happen in life, and you don't have a chance to revisit it. And in terms of Mad Season and someone being part of it singing, you know, that's an interesting question. Mark Lanegan was around at that time, and so when he has done these three, since he has done those three new tracks, I feel that if you look at it in sort of a lineage way, or a, he was there and he did sing on that first record. So after that, I'm not sure, you know, what we're going to do. We have a lot of new stuff ready to go, and we'll discuss that. I don't know yet.
Music and information can be found at legacyrecordings.com. Thanks for listening.